turn to Acts chapter 20. We're gradually working systematically through some theology. And we're in a section that's talking about salvation. And last week we stressed repentance. And Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. Paul's speaking about his ministry and he says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And so in this one verse, we see the two aspects of both sides of a single coin called salvation, that of repentance and faith. We find those two things brought up again in Hebrews, where it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. And so the beginning of a religious experience of salvation, it begins with repentance and faith. And last week we talked a great deal about repentance, and today we're going to look at faith. Hebrews describes faith as the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. And so I think really a good definition of faith, if you'll go with me over to Romans chapter 4. And verse 17. Romans chapter 4, 17, down to verse 22. As is written, I've made thee a father of many nations. He's talking about Abraham. Before him whom you believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. It's talking about him being past childbearing age, both he and Sarah, yet he had hope because God had promised. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And so you see through this section that the topic is Abraham's faith. And then he said, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Right there is a very wonderful definition of faith. Faith is being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Faith is to be fully persuaded of the promises of God. And as a result of that, acting upon those promises, fully persuaded. The gospel that saves people's, the gospel message, the gospel truth of what Christ did on the cross is what saves a person from their sin. If you go over to Ephesians chapter 2, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace being what God has done for us that we didn't deserve, his unmerited favor. We didn't do anything to merit his favor. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so when you study the topic of faith over and over, you're going to see it made a distinction that salvation is not by works, but it's by grace, and that grace comes through our being fully persuaded that he's able to perform that which he's promised through faith. We're here in Ephesians. Drop back to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. That is, through the law, we understood that we are fallen, we're sinful, we've broken God's commandments, and that draws us either to repentance and faith in the Lord, or it's going to push us away and denying what the Bible says about us. And he says in verse 26, "For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." And so this matter of faith is directly connected to the work of the Lord and our being fully persuaded that what he said is absolutely true. The Bible says, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified, made just in the sight of God, declared justified by faith without the deeds of the law." And so when we begin to talk about faith, I really think that's a good definition, that we're fully persuaded that God's able to do what he asks us to do. And so saving faith means that we believe what God's word says about us. Maybe one other verse along this line. Go to John chapter 1. We don't have the word faith used here, but we do have the word believed used here. And in John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And so we have synonyms here. The word received and believe are equal. Those that received him, he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so faith is a matter of receiving Christ as our Savior. Faith is a matter of believing. And again, as it spoke of Abraham was fully persuaded that God would do what he had promised. And that's a matter of faith. Now, we see here that received and believe are mentioned. What is it that we believe about what God's word says? Well, first of all, we need to come to believe, be fully persuaded that what God said is true about ourselves. That we are sinners, that we're lost, and we're condemned to hell. It's a belief that we're fully persuaded that Christ and only Christ is the Lord and only he's the Savior. It's to be fully persuaded that the gospel, the finished work of Jesus Christ, has obtained us redemption. It's to be fully persuaded that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved." Look over in Romans chapter 10. And I want you to notice the word believe, believeth, and the word confess here in this passages. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, it says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And so he tells us that when the gospel is preached, it gets very close to us. It gets right up nigh to us. It deals with us. And then he says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that is, I am fully persuaded what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, and I confess with my mouth the Lord, he's my Lord, that I believe that he's the Lord of the universe, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so we find that this belief, the matter of faith, results in confessions. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I think that more important this morning than trying to define further what faith is to define what faith isn't. First of all, faith is not a mental consent. To God's word. It's not just, you know, it's not just with your mind saying that, yeah, I know I'm a sinner, I know that Christ is a savior. Look over in James chapter 2. You see, some people, they will take the Bible and they'll open it up and they'll say, can I share with you about Jesus Christ? And they'll say, all of sin comes short of the glory of God. What does that make you? Well, it makes me a sinner. But that's just mental consent. He's not going to argue with the Word of God. And people try to make just a mental consent, agreement with the Word of God, the faith that saves you. But if you notice in James chapter 2 and verse 19, he says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Just the fact that they had a belief, a faith in that the Bible is true, that there's one God, doesn't mean that they're any greater than the devils. It has to be more than just a mental consent. It's being fully persuaded that what God has done, what he promises he can do, and that fully persuaded moves me to action to receive him and to believe upon him. Look over in Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. And verse 27. Paul talking to Agrippa, and he says to King Agrippa in Acts 26:27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And so you see here that there's things that Agrippa believed, but it wasn't a belief to salvation. So mental consent, and we have numerous people that walk the aisle, profess Christ as their Savior, are baptized in the New Testament churches, but all they've done is made a mental consent to what the Bible says is true. It has to be more than that. Just believing that Jesus actually existed in time is no more of benefit than believing that George Washington was the President of the United States. It's just a mental consent. And so we need to understand that salvation, the faith that saves, has to be placed in something and not just acknowledgement of what of mentally of what's said. A man may sincerely believe, a chair will support him, But when he places his life and his body in that chair is when he really puts faith in it. And so we can believe that Christ died for the world. We can believe that we're sinners. We can believe that if we trust in Jesus Christ, we can be saved. But just to believe that doesn't mean that we've put our whole life and trusted him. And so mental consent is not enough. Also, faith is not a leap in the dark. Many times when dealing with lost people, they'll say, well, you just have to believe. You just have to have faith. You know, I can't explain all this. But faith is not foolishness. Faith rests upon a solid rock. It rests upon the sure word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is such a salvation, what you're hoping for. And it's the evidence of things not seen. Look in Titus, the book of Titus. Titus chapter 1. And verse 2, in hope is a confident expectation. Is that how you, we're confident and we expect, it's not like hope here doesn't mean a possible hope, I hope that this happens, but the hope in the Bible is confident expectation. And so in a confident expectation of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. That it's not a leap in the dark, but it's based upon the word of God. Saving faith is Bible based. It has a foundation. It's something that's solid, the promises of the word of God. And so it's not just a leap in the dark. And I think sometimes we approach that way when we're presenting Christ to other people. But listen, there's evidence for what we believe. We're not just blindly believing, but there's some solid, absolute truths in the Word of God that we can put our faith in. Being fully persuaded that what God has said, the promises, he's able to keep those. And then faith is not a feeling. We want, many times I think that we want to see people emotional and we want to, I just went to church that day and the message was preached and the speaker was very dynamic and he moved my heart and I was really stirred and the music that was played, and it was very, very emotional and I had an experience with God and I experienced worship and some of the, Protestant churches, they like that music that, is a long gray hair, long music. I don't know what you call it. It's more, you music people, I'm searching for a word, but it's more. No, not that kind. The other kind, there is something that makes your foot tap before, and that's emotional too. But a lot of people want to go into a church service and feel a mood, and it sets a tone for the service in the sense of I'm being emotional. Well, feelings, just having a certain feeling. You know, I went to church that day, and God spoke to me, and God, I felt the presence of God, and It was very emotional. Well, go over to the book of Acts, chapter 8. And we have an account of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. And first, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He was reading from Isaiah about a sheep, back up in 32. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened his mouth. And he's wanting to know, who was this talking about? Was Isaiah talking about himself or some other person? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And so what we find here in this passage, is fact. Philip preached unto him Jesus, the facts of the work of Christ. He gives him factual information. And as he went on his way, as they went on their way, verse 36, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That baptism follows belief. And so what was connected, he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," and all the ramifications of that. And so faith doesn't rest in a feeling. Faith doesn't embrace emotion, but faith rests upon facts. The engine pulls the train. And then he says there, in verse 38, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they both went down into the water," it wasn't like you see on television, that they walked out into the middle of the water, Philip took a pitcher and filled up the water as he's standing in the middle of the water and poured it on his head. How stupid. Why would you make a guy walk down into the middle of the creek so you could pour water on his head? No, he went down there and immersed. "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." That Philip went on his way rejoicing, and the eunuch went on his way with rejoicing. And so what's connected to fact and faith is feelings. When it comes to salvation, feelings never pull the train. It's not based upon emotions. It's based upon fact. Salvation is based upon the fact that I'm a sinner, that Christ died for sinners, and I come to a place where I'm fully persuaded that what he promised, he can do. It's a full persuasion. Neither is faith a confession of, I think the best thing is just the word creed. It's not that I agree, I've went through confirmation, I've had my classes, and I remember years ago working with this guy who was a Lutheran, and I talked to him. I said, "Are you saved?" And he said, "Well, you know, I went through confirmation and was baptized, and it was a process of learning their doctrine and accepting their creed." Well, that's not salvation. It's not a matter of learning a creed. Neither is faith a matter of belief plus. That is, I believe, and now I'm doing these things. I've received the gift, and now I'm going to do what is necessary to maintain that salvation. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, it's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Nothing else. He didn't say gift plus maintenance of that gift. He didn't say faith plus baptism, faith plus faithful church attendance, but it's a gift. And so I come and I say, "Patrick, I'm going to give you this box and it's full of gold and it's a gift." And then I come back on Monday and say, hey, you need to start giving me some of your auto parts, you know, once a month I'm going to come over because I gave you this. And eventually Patrick's going to say, "Hey, listen, take it back. You told me it was a gift, and now you're making me work for it." A gift is a gift. It doesn't require any kind of work. It must simply be trusting in what the Lord has said, being fully persuaded. When you got saved, you may not be able to understand it all or even explain it, but when you got saved, there came to a point where you were fully persuaded that you were lost and dying and going to hell. You were fully persuaded that without Jesus Christ, you were never going to be rescued. And you come to a place where you not just believed about it, but you believed on it. You staked your life upon it. You were fully persuaded that this was the only way you were ever going to be saved from your sin. And you acted upon it. You trusted it. It's like, again, it's like a crossing a bridge. It's a matter that you're fully persuaded that that bridge can hold you up, and so you step out upon it and you cross it. Well, Jesus Christ is fully able to save you from every sin you've ever committed. The greatest sin of the greatest sinner, he's paid for, and he can save your soul from sin. And so it's so messed up today, and it's not that difficult. It's not a mental consent. It's not a leap in the dark. It rests upon sure word of God. It's not just feelings. It's not a creed. It's not belief plus something, but it's being fully persuaded of what God said he would do. Okay, now let's talk about the source of faith. This source of faith. Look over in Hebrews chapter 12. Okay, if we need faith, well, where does that come from? Where is the source for faith that will save me from my sins? Where do I get that at? How do I obtain that? How does that come about? Yeah, I want to be changed. I want my sins forgiven. I understand that It's by grace through faith. Well, where do I find that? Look in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is before us. And so it's talking about walking with God after we're saved. He said, looking unto Jesus, if we're going to bring glory and honor to God and run with endurance, that word patience means endurance, then how we get to that? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, there's a lot said there, but what I just really want to see, we're talking about where is the source? Where do I get this faith to believe, to be fully persuaded? Well, this passage says that Jesus, he's the author of our faith. Now, go with me over to Romans 12:3. People say, well, I just don't have enough faith. You know, I just don't have the faith to believe that. Well, go over to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, every man, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. And so he says there's no big I's and little U's. Don't be thinking that somehow you got the corner on anything, but particularly spiritual things. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every man, who does that mean? Well, it means every man. God's given them a measure of faith to be exercised. What it's telling us here is this, that everybody can be saved if you'll exercise the faith that God has given to him. He's given us a measure of faith. Don't go around saying, I just can't believe it. I just can't believe that. What that is unbelief. The sin of unbelief. Because God has given us a measure of faith to enable us to believe. And part of that comes about, I mean, there's different ways that comes about, but look over, and we're in Romans here. Look in Romans chapter 10. And look in verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so this, everybody's been given a measure of faith, and that is boosted up, that comes to fruition through faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That through the word of God, I come to hear his promises. We go back again to what Abraham said, being fully persuaded that God was able to perform his promises. Well, the promises are found in the word of God, and it's a matter of, do you believe it or not? It involves repentance, being sorry for our sin. We've already talked about that. But the matter of faith is, are you fully persuaded of what God said he's able to do? Look over also in 2 Timothy 3:15. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The faith in Christ Jesus rests upon what we've already said, not a sandcastle, but it rests upon the Word of God, which are able to make thee wise into salvation. And so again, God has given every man a measure of faith. The Word of God comes along. The Word of God tells me who I am, what I am, where I'm going, the wickedness of my heart, the terrible condition that I'm in as a lost sinner. And it points me to the Word of God, the promises of God. And if I'm going to be saved, I'm going to have to come to a place where I'm fully persuaded that God is able to do that which He promised. And I'm going to jump right into it and embrace it. And then the joy comes. Again, remember that we're connecting this back with last week. I come to a place where godly sorrow is working in my life because I'm seeing that what God said is true. And I'm convicted about my sin. I'm convicted about my lostness. And I see that God doesn't just say, for all of sin and come short of the glory of God, but He also says, for all of sin and come short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, I got 6:23 instead of 3:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Two aspects there, my need and Christ's provisions for my need. And so salvation comes about by grace through faith. The object of our faith, well, look in Romans chapter 3. The source of our faith, God. The object of our faith, what am I going to be fully persuaded about? Romans 3:25. Whom God, that is, whom is Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, a sacrifice that appeases the wrath of God and satisfies His justice. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. The source of our faith is the Lord. The object of our faith, where do I put my faith? I'm putting my faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I'm putting my faith in the fact that through His shed blood, He propitiated, He appeased the wrath of God. That God's, in Romans, in John chapter 3, verse 36, we use this a lot in prison, but the Bible says there that the wrath of God abides upon us. And God being merciful and long-suffering, He stayed that. He's winked at it for a short time. Let it go, but the wrath of God is going to fall upon mankind unless we put our faith in the object, the blood of Jesus Christ, which appeased the wrath of God. It satisfied the wrath of God. And that's where we put our faith. Now, one more thing, the source of faith, the object of faith. Now let's talk about the proof of faith. The proof. Go back to Ephesians with me. Chapter 2. Ephesians Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are you saved through faith. We've talked about that. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That works has nothing to do with our salvation. But after we're saved, after we become a child of God, God has ordained, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's a proof that faith has been placed in Jesus Christ. We've been forgiven. Our sins has been removed as far as the east is from the west, is works. We're going to do good works. Look over in James chapter. I don't think I want to go over there. Don't have time for all that. But James chapter 2 says that works is a sign that you're truly saved. Not that we obtain salvation. Show me my faith. Show you my faith by your works. I'm simply saying that there ought to be, because salvation is salvation. Salvation is becoming a new creature. Salvation is not just the forgiveness of sin, but a new person and a new life. That's going to result in a new walk. And that walk is going to have works that are pleasing to the Lord. And so I really like that definition, being fully persuaded. The question is this morning, as we close, are you fully persuaded concerning your eternal destiny? Are you fully persuaded that Christ can save your soul? That it's not about what you can do. It's not about trying to build up the faith that you need, because God has given to every man a measure of faith. And it's not a matter of how big or small your faith is. It's a matter where you place your faith. And when you place it in the solid rock of Jesus Christ, it's on a solid foundation. And so we all have to come to a place where we're fully persuaded. In that full persuasion, if I'm fully persuaded, then I'll tell you what, I'm going to act on it. Well, I'm fully persuaded that this pew will hold me. It's solid. That's oak. Oh, it's just veneer oak, so maybe. And you know, it's got a good brace in the. I'm fully persuaded. And you say, well, sit down, Brother Humphrey. Oh, I think I'll prefer to stand. That's not fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded that Christ can save sinners. I'm fully persuaded he can make me a new creature. I'm fully persuaded that I need salvation. Well, let's see. Let's put the walk to the talk. I'm trusting you, Jesus. I'm basing my whole life upon what you said. And you know what I found the day that I did that? What he said was absolutely true. And I experienced for the first time in my life the joy of forgiveness of sin. Fully persuaded. All right. We'll move on next week. Thank you.